The Temple, Part 2, The Dividing Wall. Wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time you were without Messiah, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without Elohim in the world. But now, in Messiah Yeshua, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Messiah. He is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the dividing wall of partition or hostility between us, by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to Yahweh in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility or enmity. Ephesians 2:11-16. So, just what is the dividing wall of hostility Yeshua broke down between us? Taken at face value, English translations present the text as a pointed assertion by the Hebrew apostle Shaul, or Paul, that Messiah abolished the Mosaic Torah by his death, and that the Torah was the instrument of hostility that erected a dividing wall between Hebrew and Gentile. The difficulty with such a reading is twofold. First, it contradicts the clear teaching of Yeshua himself that he did not abolish the written Torah. And secondly, the written Torah never demanded a wall between Hebrew and Gentile. The English term translated broke down, found in Ephesians 2, is actually the single Greek word luo, which can mean to loose, untie, set free, break up, destroy, bring to an end, abolish, or do away with. It is used of the demolition of buildings, as in the saying of Yeshua regarding the temple in John 2:19, or of the destruction of the ship on which Shaul was traveling in Acts 27:41. The compound form of this word, kataluo, is used by Yeshua in Matthew 5:17. Ephesians 2:16 further defines the use of luo by adding, having put to death the enmity or hostility created by it. Contextually, the abolishing action is viewed as final, as a death. Thus, the barrier is done away with forever. But how can that be if the temple was still standing after Yeshua's resurrection and at the time of this writing by the Hebrew apostle Shaul to the Ephesians? It is important to recognize how the very structure of our language subtly alters how we understand the text of Scripture. Hebrew does not work like English or any of the Indo-European languages of which we are familiar. First, it has no vowels. Secondly, the structure of the Hebrew letters communicates a second level of meaning impossible to translate. And third, the syntax of Hebrew is strikingly different than that of other languages. Even though the only documents we have of the Messianic writings are in Greek, they are still written by Hebrews out of a Hebrew mindset, influenced through Hebrew culture, producing a uniquely Hebrew perspective that were addressed to primarily a Hebrew audience who had an intimate understanding of the nuances contained in the Hebrew language. To truly grasp what these Hebrews were trying to communicate means we must first understand the perspective these words were written from. When once asked what an expert was, Mark Twain quipped, "Someone from out of town." Well, it seems like some expert Christian theologians have assumed the barrier spoken of in this text in Ephesians 2 is the low wall which separated the clean from the unclean courts in the temple, known as the Soreg. The wall was designed to partition access to the area for worship preserved for the Israelites and separated access from the Gentile. This was a literal interpretation of the intent of Numbers 151, which reads, "And when the tabernacle is to be pitched, the Levites shall set it up, and the stranger that comes nigh shall be put to death." The wall, or soreg, was described as being a few steps high by Josephus in his Book of Antiquities, chapter 15. Along the top of this wall, at regular intervals, were placed stone. Interspaced was a reticulated fence of sticks, 10 handbreadths high, which was perforated by 12 gates. A Greek stone tablet discovered by Clermont and Ganou in 1871 at the northwestern corner of the graveyard abutting the Temple Mount wall and attached to the soreg forbidding Gentiles to pass by that point reads, "No foreigner is allowed in the courtyard within the wall surrounding the temple. Whoever enters will invite death for himself." The court-styled heron, or sacred, this low wall protected, is referred to in John 2:14. However, in the Ephesians 2 passage, the Greek word translated dividing wall, mesotoikion, only appears this once in the Messianic writings. So further definition must be sought outside of the biblical text. The Greek word translated partition, or barrier, in this passage is phragmos, fence, found three other times in the Messianic writings, with all using the same sense of a barrier consisting of a fence surrounding something. However, the balustrade preventing Gentiles and unclean Israelites from proceeding into the court of the circumcised was never so designated in contemporary usage, nor is it labeled phragmos or mesotoikion by any ancient writer. Josephus calls the separating wall in the temple court trifactos lithienos, meaning fence of stone. More importantly, in the inscription engraved on the balustrade itself, the wall is also referred to by this different Greek term. No foreigner is to enter within the forecourt and the balustrade trifacto around the sanctuary. Whoever is caught will have himself to blame for his subsequent death. If Shaul had intended his readers to understand it was the physical wall within the temple which separated clean from unclean to be what Messiah destroyed, the common Greek term, trifacto, something doubtlessly seen time and time again entering the temple, would certainly have been used. Plus, it seems unlikely that Shaul would teach the present reality of peace between Hebrew and Gentile on the basis of Messiah's already having abolished the physical separating wall in the temple if, in fact, it were still standing. Why then would the Greek phrasing mesotoikion to phragmo, translated as the dividing wall of the partition, be used unless there was another point being made? There is an acknowledged rabbinical injunction regarding a fence around the Torah, as in Avot, they said three things: be deliberate in judgment, raise up many disciples, and make a fence around the law. That injunction was then expanded on by another commentator of Scripture, which says Rabbi Akiba said, "Jesting and levity habituate a man to lewdness. The tradition is a fence to the law. Tithes are a fence to riches, vows a fence to abstinence, a fence to wisdom is silence." Yeshua spoke to the result of tradition in Mark 7:9-13, when he said, "It's by your tradition that the word of Yahweh becomes nullified or of none effect," and was constantly holding up the clear words of Torah to break down the artificial barriers men's traditions had built contrary to those words. Additionally, the Greek term phragmos, or fence, was commonly used in the first century to identify the Oral Torah, the Talmud, as a wall or fence around the written Torah, and the Pharisees as builders of the wall. Finally, it was aspects of the Oral Torah, not the written Torah, which laid the foundation for a strict separation between ethnic and non-ethnic Hebrews. The Ephesian text before us helps define the dividing wall with the phrase, the law of commandments, in ordinances, ton numon ton etolon in dogmasin, rather than all the prior usages in the messianic writings of ha nomos, the law, to denote those rabbinic ordinances which had been in fact the obstacle of separation, the fence of dogma found at the end of this phrase. Messianic believers should be encouraged to accept the mitzvot of the Torah and live a Torah lifestyle, but the scriptures command us to do this together as a community of Hebrews and non-Hebrews. To suggest that Hebrews have an obligation to Torah which Gentiles do not is to suggest something foreign to the thrust of the prophets and the apostles. We dare not take that which Yahweh has given to all his people and relegate it to a select group on the basis of the non-biblical teachings of unique callings. But this means we will have to die to ourselves at times as we bear with those who not only disagree with us but are even at times antagonistic toward us. There is nothing more difficult than dying daily toward another of the community. Yet this is the life to which we have been called. This very issue was a hotly contested one in the first century messianic community. The influencers that Shaul dealt with in Galatians and 2 Corinthians, among others of the epistles, have been often misrepresented. There is very little evidence, if any at all, that salvation by works was a major tenet of the first century Judaisms. The primary issue which raged among the messianic communities of Shaul's day was whether or not Yahweh intended to bless the Gentiles as a separate community or as part of the Hebraic community. It is to this issue Ephesians 2:14 through 16, as well as many other texts, speaks. A study of the Greek word dogma in both the Septuagint and Messianic writings confirms that the term was used of man-made ordinances and not of the Yahweh-given Torah of Sinai, in spite of Strong's inference. We may therefore conclude that Shaul adds it to his description of nomos, law, in order to identify the abolished ordinances as the legal fence of the rabbis, particularly the parts of the Oral Torah that separated ethnic and non-ethnic Hebrews, and thus were at odds with the written Torah that prophesied the unity within the promise of blessing given to Abraham. This does not mean the entire Oral Torah was abolished. In fact, there are many instances recorded in the life of Yeshua where he gives clear allegiance to Oral Torah. What Yeshua abolished were those rabbinic ordinances which, when practiced, set aside the Torah of Yahweh by separating ethnic and non-ethnic Hebrews that Yahweh always intended to make one in Messiah. This was the dividing wall, the rabbinic law, contained in the ordinances of the Oral Torah. Those parts of the Oral Torah that affirm the written Torah or in harmony with it remain viable for the Messianic faithful as the traditions of the fathers. Thus, when all the words are looked at together from the Hebraic perspective they are written in, we find no contradictions within the writings of Shaul. Instead, scriptures show Yeshua, Shaul, and the rest of the disciples to be in complete alignment with Torah.